الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلي وسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تتخذوا الضيعة فترغبوا في الدنيا رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. So this chapter, alhamdulillah, we're going through every Sunday from the Kitab Riyadu Salihin, the Gardens of the Righteous Ones. So this chapter is Babul Fadli Zuhdi fi Dunya, the virtues of Zuhd in the Dunya, abstinence in the Dunya, staying away from the things of the Dunya, having very little inclination towards the things of the Dunya. So quite a few hadith inshallah in this chapter. So we're on this hadith. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that la tattakhidu ad-dai'a, don't adopt an occupation fatarghabu fi ad-dunya, which would then make you too inclined towards the dunya. So to not adopt an occupation, this is something obviously without an occupation, you don't have an income. Without income, you can't feed your family. So the ulama explained from this that this is the highest level that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging the sahaba. That koi pesha ikhtiyar hi na karo. Because if you have an occupation, and when occupation here, the ulama say business. One is you work for somebody else. So you work, you do your hours, you get your paycheck, you come home and it's finished. You don't have to stress about anything else. One is where it's your business. Your business. So now your mind is constantly thinking about that. You're always thinking, what do I have to do tomorrow in that? You know, what do I have outstanding in that? Always the mind is busy with these kind of things. And then what happens is a person falls too much into it. So when other things come up, going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something or the other, you can't make yourself come out of it because you're so tied up with everything. And we see the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the famous hadith of the three Sahaba who stayed back from the Ghazwa of Tabuk, the Battle of Tabuk, Sayyidina Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Same thing he says, Sayyidina Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he says, I didn't go in the Battle of Tabuk. This was the only battle I missed. Except for the Battle of Badr, but in the Battle of Badr, we didn't have to go. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever's ready here, let's go. Because they were going to attack the caravan of Abu Sufyan. So if we take too long, the caravan will go and we won't be able to capture it. So whoever's here now, some Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, our house is on the outskirts of Medina. Let us just go, get ready, get our weapons and we'll come and join you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Whoever's ready, whoever can easily access their weapons or whatever they can access, get it together and we need to go out. So whoever didn't go in the Battle of Badr, they weren't blamed. They were not found faulty by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were not found blameworthy by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, I didn't go in any, I went in all the battles with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for the Battle of Tabuk. He says, because at this time Allah ta'ala had blessed me with so much. I had two businesses, I had two houses, and I was so busy with them, the income coming from them, looking to my houses. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the announcement, we need to go in the path of Allah ta'ala in the Battle of Tabuk, he said, I said to myself, I'll go, but let me just, جو کہتے ہیں اپنے جو معاملات سنبھال کے پھر میں نکل جاؤں گا. I'm just gonna tidy everything up and then I'll come out. And he said, I just got so busy with it. And then by the time I knew it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were leaving. It was the day that they were leaving and I still wasn't prepared. So he said, I thought to myself, I still haven't finished doing what I need to do. Let me finish doing that. And when they go a little bit forward, I'll go and join them. I won't delay. I'll go and catch up with them. He said, but I was still doing everything, and then I heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the army had gone so far ahead, I knew that it wouldn't be possible for me to catch up with them. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. And then later Allah ta'ala, mentioned when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, and he presented his excuse in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah ta'ala forgave him. The point is this, that even the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were encouraged. Don't become too attached to the businesses and to this and that, because otherwise what happens is you'll become too inclined towards the dunya. And you will not be willing to. The main thing is going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main thing. That if a person is required to leave everything for the sake of Allah, is he going to be ready to do that? One is, what we do on a daily basis. That it's okay, we want to balance everything together. One is, if I need to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala ke liye jaan maal ko qurban karna, am I going to be ready for this? So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to make the Sahaba's mind. If you have to leave everything, you leave everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most important. Going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, defending Islam, all of these kind of things. So that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. Don't fall in love with the things of the dunya, that if you have to part from them, you have to separate from them, because you need to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, you won't miss it. It won't be burdensome upon you.
وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال مر علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نعالج خصا لنا فقال ما هذا فقلنا قد وهى فنحن نصلحه فقال ما أرى الأمر إلا أعجل من ذلك رواه أبو داود والترمذي بإسناد البخاري ومسلم وقال الترمذي حديثا حسنا صحيح سيدنا عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by us while we were fixing a hut. Khussan, this Arabic word khussan, is a hut. That a person has, you know, a house of wood or straws for the roof or something like this. So we were fixing this house. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us, ma hadha, what is this, what are you doing? So we replied, qad waha, ya Rasulullah, it's become weak. The roof or the structure has become very weak. فَنَحْنُ نُصْلِحُهُ So we are fixing it, we're making it strong. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ said, مَا أَرَى الْأَمْرَ إِلَّا أَعْجَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ
I think that Qiyamah, in my mind, I think that Qiyamah can come quicker or sooner than the time it takes for you to fix your roof. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم alerting them. The believer, he shouldn't be so focused on these things. He should be focused on preparing for his akhirah. Anytime, death will come. And all of this that we invested our attention, our time, our effort in will seem useless, will seem futile. Why did I do that? I wish I just said Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar a few more times. That's why in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا The baqiyatu الصَّالِحَاتُ The best things that you can carry ahead for yourself in the Akhirah is the baqiyatu الصَّالِحَاتُ The righteous deeds, the good deeds that will remain. And when Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu used to explain what are the good deeds that will remain, he would say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. These are the good deeds that will remain in the Akhirah. Otherwise, things of dunya, it's like a playtime, you know. You play with it, you do whatever you have to do. As soon as your eyes close in the dunya, none of this mattered. And the only thing that matters are the a'mal and the good deeds that we carry forward into the Akhirah. وعن كعب بن عياض رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن لكل أمة فتنة وفتنة أمة المال رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح سيدنا كعب بن عياض رضي الله تعالى عنه He narrates that I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that indeed every ummah has a fitna, a test, a trial, that Allah Ta'ala tests that particular ummah with that trial. And the test of my ummah is going to be wealth, money. So another hadith mentions about the women being one of the greatest fitnas, one of the greatest tests. So these are all things to alert draw our attention to the fact that we need to be very careful about these things. Women folk, dealing with women folk. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a wife and daughters, how you raise them, how you deal with them, how you behave with them. And secondly, not falling into the fitna of women. Protecting your gaze, protecting your hearing, protecting the limbs of your body from falling into any haram, from falling into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The zina of everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, zina al-ayn al-ru'ya. The zina of the eyes is to look at something which is haram. Zina of the ears is to hear something which is haram. That's why they say the voice of a woman can be parda. The voice of a woman is satr as well. The woman has a very captivating voice, very alluring voice. And you're listening to it, and many times a woman can put on that voice because she knows that a man is going to be captivated. A man is going to be, his attention is going to be drawn because of my voice. So they put on the extra to their voice. So it's haram to listen to that. Even when speaking with those people who are not mahram, those people who are not who are not our mahram, which is very formal, can't be very chilled out, very joking, and this and that, because it will lead to fitna. Even in the heart, to entertain a thought in the heart, this is you falling into zina, which happened from the ears or from the eyes. So every part of the body has zina, so you have to be very careful. Nowadays people are careless, because you go out in society, you go to school, college, then mixed environment, work, mixed environment. And you just, people, even though they're feeling the lust in their heart and the bad desires in their heart, they overlook it. They think it's all right. It's okay. But it's not. It's doing the damage. It's the poison. The poison is spreading throughout your a'mal and destroying your a'mal. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that an-nazru sahmun masmumatun min siham iblis. That the evil gaze where you glance at the opposite gender with lust and attraction, this is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. He knows that he can take you down with that. How many people? You know, recently, you know, a case of a woman whose husband divorced her. So it's a divorce case. So we're looking into it. We had to deal with some elements of it. And why did he divorce her? Because he fell in love with this other person. And he's so majnoon, mad in love with that woman, he's ready to divorce his wife and give up his children and everything. Saying, get out, I don't care. I need the other woman. He's saying to the other woman, look, I've divorced her. He's saying to the other woman, look, I've taken 1,000 steps towards you. Why are you not taking a step towards me? Bichara is ashiq, he's pagal. He's happy to sacrifice. And what does the other woman say? If you're going to do that to your first wife, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. You might do that to me. If you find someone else that you know, fall in love with. So this is unfortunately, you know, a big fitna of our time, and youngsters are falling into it. So the fitna of women folk and the fitna of wealth, both of them very dangerous fitnas. We have to be very, very chokanna in the Urdu say, very, very careful, very, very cautious. The wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we use it for our necessities, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shouldn't be something that we start enjoying. Watching the numbers in the bank account go higher and higher and higher. Mazalena is there. Very dangerous. I mentioned last time the Quran ayat when one of the beautiful masjids were built in the time of the Tabi'un. Beautiful masjid. MashaAllah. Like in those times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid had no carpet. They built this beautiful masjid, beautiful carpets and beautiful everything. They called one of the pious people and he came in and he looked at everything and he didn't say anything. And when he was walking out of the door, they say, are you not going to say anything? They wanted him to say, oh, very nice, well done, mashallah. But he just recited the ayah of the Quran. وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَن يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ And he carried on. He read the whole ayah of Surah Az-Zukhruf. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had any love for the things of this dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given the kafir, the disbeliever, beautiful mansions to live in. Beautiful stairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given the disbeliever these beautiful mansions, beautiful stairs, beautiful. But Allah ta'ala did not give this to the kafir because you people, you believers, you Muslims would see this and think, oh, there's definitely some faida in being, na'udhu billah, a disbeliever. Look at what these disbelievers have. That's why Allah ta'ala didn't give it to them. Otherwise, Allah ta'ala would have given them all of this. Because وَإِن كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا This means nothing in the sight of Allah. This is a mata' of the life of this dunya. It has no value. Allah Ta'ala would easily give it to the disbelievers. Enjoy yourself. Get Buckingham Palace. All of you get Buckingham Palace each. All of you have $1 billion in your bank account each. All of you, you know, become the next Bill Gates. It doesn't matter to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Take it all. Because as soon as your eyes close in this dunya, finished. And then the reality is there in the akhirah. So that's why we shouldn't become too tired. And social media, we have to be very careful. Looking at social media, this person's got a nice watch, this person's got a nice phone, this person making a lot of money, that person making a lot of money. It's a trend now. And people are out there encouraging other people with their fake lifestyle, look at what I have. And if you do this get rich quick scheme, you can also make as much money as I do. It's all fake. You go and dig deep into that person's life and you see what? He's in credit card debt and he's taking this £100,000 loan, I don't know, probably £1 million loan from the bank, and he's living his life on borrowed money. It's not even his own money. But the image is there. And what happens to that poor teenager who's going on, or the young person or whatever person going on and watching these things, starts becoming depressed. Starts feeling, oh, I wish I had all of these things. That's why what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us? In terms of dunya, always look at someone who has less than you. Because it will make you appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in terms of deen, always look at someone who has more than you. Because then it can make you realize how, you know, how far you have to go. And you know, how much more effort you can make on yourself. Do one more hadith, inshallah. وَعَنْ أَبِي عَمْرٍ وَيُقَالُ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَيُقَالُ أَبُو لَيْلَى عُثْمَانَ بْنِ عَفَّانَ رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس لابن آدم حق في سوى هذه الخصال بيت يسكنه وثوب يواري عورته وجلف الخبز والماء رواه الترمذي وقال حديث صحيح قال الترمذي سمعت أبا داود سليمان بن سالم البلخي يقول سمعت النضر بن الشميل يقول الجلف الخبز ليس معه إدام وقال غيره هو غليظ الخبز وقال الهروي المراد به هنا وعاء الخبز كالجوالق والخرج والله أعلم سيدنا عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه the son-in-law of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم the person who سبحان الله was known as ذُنُّورَيْن the possessor of two lights why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got two of his daughters married to him. Imagine. See? Once you make someone your son-in-law and then you regret it. Oh, wish I went for somebody else. See? I gave my daughter over to this person. Somebody else would have been a better suitor. Well, imagine how special he was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him his daughter Ruqayya radiallahu anha in marriage. When Ruqayya radiallahu anha passed away, he gave his daughter Umm Kulthum in marriage to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anha. And after she passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by that time Fatima radiallahu anha was married to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha. He said, if I had any more daughters, I would have given them to you, O Uthman. Someone who has so much haya that when the angels see him, the angels, they make musafaha with him and the angels feel haya from Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anha. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anha is sitting in the, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting in the room in a very relaxed, baytakalluf, informal way. They knock at the door. Who is it? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Come in. Who is it? Knock at the door. Who is it? Umar radiallahu anhu. Come in. Knock at the door. Who is it? Uthman. Straight away Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sits up. He adjusts his clothing. His clothing was not above his satr. But just a very relaxed way. And I think some of his, you know, his calf was showing. So he adjusted everything. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu came in. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu went. Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha and the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, they say, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came in, Umar radiallahu anhu came in, you stayed the same. When Uthman radiallahu anhu came in, you adjusted everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uthman has so much haya that if he came into the room and he saw me sitting like this, he wouldn't be able to even come close to me. Immense haya. Sharam, hum log sab sharam, sharam jo hai ek... عیب والی چیز ہے کوئی عیب نہیں ہے شرمی جو ہے is a natural part of your fitra when you're speaking to the opposite gender to feel a lot of sharam I can't do it it's a good thing now within confidence is I can speak to the opposite gender freely I can speak to all these women and I am Mr. Confident and this is a good sign this is a sign that wait, you have no sharam you have no haya your haya is taken out of you you have to be very very scared when a person was saying to his brother you got too much sharam stop it Why do you get so embarrassed? Why are you so shy? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, No, don't say this to him. إِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ Haya is from Iman. Sharam is from Iman. So anyway, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, لَيْسَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ حَقٌّ فِي سِوَى هَذِهِ الْخِصَالِ The human being, the son of Adam, has no right in this dunya. Right as in any necessity. Beyond these few things, بَيْتٌ يَسْكُنُهُ A house in which he can live. وَثَوْبٌ يُوَارِي عَوْرَتَهُ Clothing, an item of clothing which will cover his satr, will cover his private area. وَجِلْفُ الْخُبْزِ وَالْمَاءِ And jilful khubz. Khubz is roti, bread, and ma is water. Jilfun, the ulama explain, what is jilfun? The different opinions have been mentioned here. Bread, one opinion is, jilf is khubz laysa ma'ahu idamun. Bread with which there is no salan, no gravy. Just plain bread and water. This is enough for the human being to survive. Beyond this, this is dunya. This is lalach, this is desire. And another opinion is, jilful khubz is thick bread, very hard to eat. You know, when it goes stale. This is enough for the person to survive. Everything beyond that is things of dunya, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us about. Iftar time, we sit, banquet, dawat, sahri time, dawat, biryani, all of these kind of things. Allah ta'ala is going to ask us about it. Now every time we sit down for iftar, and we don't make dua for the people of Gaza, people of Philistine, we need to ask ourselves the question, what kind of Muslims are we? We're sitting down for iftar, we're having delicious food, and the people of Philistine, those who are fasting, are eating grass at iftar time. Whole family eating grass. Some are eating rotten bread with green patches of mold on them. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with so much. Minimum we can do is make dua. Two things. Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhullah was saying, Aam Musliman ke liye to do cheez hai lazmi hai. The normal Muslim has to do at least these two things. One is make a lot of dua for these people. Ya Allah, mere bas ke bahir, I can't go do anything physically. At least I can make dua. Oh Allah, you are the one who can remove these calamities. You are the one who can open doors for them. And the second one is financial aid. As much as we can, mali tor par imdad. Gaza ki musalmanon ke liye. However we can contribute, financially contribute. And second is make as much dua as we can. Because if I'm busy, and he was saying this thing because Ramadan was coming, and he was saying, look, in Ramadan what do? Dawat, this dawat, I'm feeding people, they're feeding me, I'm feeding people, they're feeding me. Which is the Ramadan is going in this. In our homes, look, the women folk are just busy with this. Many times it's not their fault. This is the culture we have created and we are responsible for that. But this is it. How much time is spent for dua? But I always say, iftar time is not just break your fast. Iftar time is a time of dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, there's a dua which is accepted at the time of iftar. And that whole time is going, preparing food, loading the table, loading the plates. By the time you know, oh, it's 2 minutes past adhan time. It's 2 minutes past. And everybody quickly start eating. See? The dua time wasted, the whole of Ramadan. So last 10 days of Ramadan especially, we need to engage in as much dua as we possibly can. For ourselves, for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Pakistan, you had Haji Abdul Wahab sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. Haji Abdul Wahab sahab rahmatullahi alayhi was a great pious saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He passed away and Mona Fahim sahab has written kitab, Mere Pyare Haji sahab. He's also passed away now, rahmatullahi alayhi, Raivan Wala Mona Fahim sahab. He wrote in there, he's a Haji Abdul Wahab sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, once his brother came to him. And he said, Abdul Wahab, me Abdul Wahab, I think they used to call him Munnu or something. Are you going to make dua for me? Make sure you make dua for me. He said, sorry bhai sahab, I can't make dua for you. He said, I'm asking you to make dua for me and you're saying no. He says, every time I make dua, I only make dua for all of the Muslims. And you're part of all the Muslims, so inshallah my dua for you is made. But I don't have time to make dua for you by name. I make dua for all of the Muslims. Every single dua I make is for all the Muslims. And he mentions in there, he says in the beginning, I used to make dua for the people, this is Dili dua jo hai. I used to make dua for my people, my parents, my relatives, my family members. And then a time came in my life where I would only make dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims. And he said then, towards the end of his life, he said, now I only make dua for the whole humanity. All of the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dua is for every single living creature. Every single human being, Muslim or non-Muslim. So this is how our heart needs to be. I sit down iftar time, or my du'as, it shouldn't just be my selfish du'as, du'as for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the Muslims suffering in the world, people of Gaza, people of China, the Uyghur Muslims, and all of these other Muslims, such difficult circumstances. I was saying in class the other day, what if the tables were turned? ہم نے کیا اچھا کام کیا کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے ہمیں جو ہے اتنے نعمتوں سے نوازا ہے اور دوسرے بچھارے جو ہیں پریشانیوں کے اندر ہے. We haven't done anything to deserve anything. It was Allah Ta'ala's choice. Allah put them in the test. Allah gave us ni'mat. Allah Ta'ala wants to see what we do with these ni'mat. If we are not appreciative of these ni'mat, tomorrow the tables could turn. We live in a non-Muslim country. Anytime anything can go wrong. And anytime we could be those in a very difficult situation. So appreciate the ni'mas of Allah Ta'ala and do plenty of du'as for those people who are not as fortunate as we are. People of Gaza, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala, give them a relief from the calamities that they are going through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant them victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deal appropriately with the tyrants who are persecuting them. We need to constantly make du'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the ability in these last 10 nights of Ramadan to make a lot of du'a. A lot of dhikr, a lot of crying, a lot of istighfar for our shortcomings. And if we have not, ye bahut khatarnak ek cheez hai. Ke Ramzan khatam ho jaye, aur hame pata nahi ki Allah Ta'ala ne hame maaf kiya hai ya nahi. Maghfirat hasil hui hai ya nahi. We don't know. Kisi ke paas ye guarantee nahi hai. Aur hum jo hai hansi mazak mein, aur khane peene mein, aur in cheezon mein hamari puri Ramzan guzar gayi. And Ramzan is finished, and then Eid day, and we're doing even more celebration. It's very, very important. A lot of istighfar, a lot of crying, a lot of making dua to Allah. Ya Allah, please just forgive me in this month of Ramadan. Just forgive me, wallah. Just save me from the fire of Jahannam. So this is where our du'as should be targeted. In the hadith of Ibn Khuzaymah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that in this month of Ramadan, four things you have to do. Two things which will be good for you, and two things you can't do without. The two things which will help you, which will be good for you, are excessive recitation of the first kalima, La ilaha illallah. And the second thing is excessive recitation of istighfar. Excessive la ilaha illallah, first kalima, and excessive istighfar. And two things that you can't do without. One is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from the fire of Jahannam. And the second thing is to ask Allah ta'ala to enter you into Jannah. So these are four things always. First kalima, istighfar, asking Allah ta'ala for entry into Jannah, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the fire of Jahannam. I make this dua for myself, for all of us. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Sadi tayyar hain inshallah to practice upon everything. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.